you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different for Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Save big on brunch for Mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why does Avonmore Supermilk matter so much to so many Irish people? Well, in Ireland, whatever we're doing, we all like to get the most out of it. It's just the way we are. And we know we can rely on Avonmore Supermilk. It's fortified with vitamin D, so your body can absorb the calcium it needs to help keep bones healthy. It helps support your immune system too. So when you get the most out of your milk, you can get the most out of everything. Avonmore Supermilk. The most super our milk can be.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Right to an attorney prior to and during any question. You can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made your sugar turn to shit.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast,
may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Thank you for joining and listening. Appreciate each and every one of you lifers. Real Life, Real Crime is rocketing, growing every day, and it's because of y'all liking and sharing us. I appreciate that. Stay tuned in today's episode, and you'll get to hear some updates on some things and some things that we have going on. But let's get to the episode. And the name of the episode is Hell or Jail. I don't really remember what year it was. I think it must have been like 2004. I was a detective with the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. And people ask me all the time, I get the question all the time, how do you handle like the PTSD from all the bad shit that you've seen, right? And I tell them that I really don't think about it. I guess I'm one of the ones that's blessed that can block things out. My way of dealing with it, it was by going hunting or fishing or whatever. And so stay with me. There's a reason I'm telling you this. But all the time when I was off, that's what I did, hunted and fished. But I always did it with other cops. And I think when I started as a rookie cop, Brother Pete Charlet, who had been a cop forever, but he also runs Charlet Funeral Home in Zachary, he told me, he said, my one piece of advice to you is keep at least one friend that's not a cop. And I was like, why? And he said, because you need somebody that can keep you grounded on the outside of law enforcement. He said, because all cops end up hanging out with other cops because they're the only people that get them. And I didn't really catch that at the time, but the years have gone by in my career, and I had no friends but the guys that I work with, right, and the girls that I work with. And so on our days off, we did everything together. We hung together. We, you know, worked whatever together. We hunted together. We fished together. We partied together. And this was no exception. And I can tell you the month was December, whatever year it was. The month was December because it was hunting season. And I knew that I got off that Friday, and I had planned to go up to Red River Wildlife Management Area, which was at the time, they didn't have the new bridge built between St. Francisville and New Roads. So it took us like over 3 hours to get to this hunting spot. Now, what was there was Brian Paul Smith, who's now the chief deputy, and Ben Bourgeois, who's now the chief of the detectives for the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. They had a little camp on the outskirts of this management area, this hunting area. And we would go up there and do what we do, right? And I guess that's how my PTSD got released, because we would go up there. I'd load my truck up and with all the essentials, which is my firearm, a little bit of camouflage, and tons of beer, and my four-wheeler, and more beer, right? And so load up, take my time, drive up to the hunting camp, get there, everybody's there, you unload your stuff, and start drinking, right? And that's what we did. And we always had a fire. A couple of rules at the hunting camp: you always going to have cold beer, and you're always going to have a great meal, right? Because a lot of the guys I work with, you know, coon asses, and y'all, coon ass is not a derogatory term. That's what Cajuns call Cajuns. And but everybody could cook something. So you get there, you start drinking, and you get around the fire, and you're telling the cop stories. And I guess that's how we decompress, right? And, you know, you drink through the night, and at some point you go to bed, and you get up in the morning, you go hunting. You come back from hunting, you get you some leftover jambalaya from the night before or whatever was cooked, and then you take your little nap, and you go hunt again in the evening. So was a good time. And I'd taken off the whole week. And this was, would have been right after the Toys for Tots or whatever Willie called it, the Christmas Crusade, after the presents were delivered. So probably the week before Christmas. And a bunch of us took off that week to go up there and spend the time and hunt, right? And no spouses, just the guys. So go up there, chilling, doing, been waiting on this week for however long. And we got the first night went by. And then the second night, and, you know, like I said, we drank and ate good. I don't remember what it was. But the next morning, now listen, this place is so rural. There's no cell phone reception at this camp. I mean, none. You had to drive like 4 miles to the levee and get up on top of the levee at the Red River Levee to get reception. And I remember, like, before I was married back then, Brian Paul and I were up there, and he had to call his wife. So we had to drive out to the levee in the evening time after the hunt. And he was on the phone with his wife. She was an awesome friend to me. She always treated me like family, but, you know, she didn't cut me any slack. But he was on the phone with her and saying his goodnights or whatever. And I said, hey, you tell your wife, call my wife and tell her I won't be calling this evening while I wasn't married. And Brian's wife responded, she said, if you had called your wife a few more times, you may still have one, right? So, but anyway, no cell phone reception, but the pagers worked. And we always had to have our pagers on. Willie's rule was, you know, with the blood hit the ground and everybody gets called out, you got to come home no matter what, right? So the next morning after the morning hunt, I get back to the camp and getting ready to get something to eat, and my pager goes off. And it's the radio room. It says 1021, you're 42, 911. I'm like, what? And 1021 is call, y'all. And it's, they were telling me to call my 42, which is my house, which means my wife at the time, in 911. I'm like, holy shit, right? So I know it's not good, and it's going to be bad. And I'm thinking somebody died or something, right? So I had to jump in my truck, haul ass down to the levee, get up on top of the levee, and we had the Nextel phones back then. That's how long ago it was, the flip Nextels. And I called, and she answered, and she starts just reaming my ass. I'm screaming. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, settle down, you know, tell me what's going on. She said, everybody in her neighborhood got robbed last night. All this and da-da-da, you know, all your neighbors got robbed, and we look like idiots, and nothing's getting done about it, and da-da-da, get your ass home now and solve this case. And I'm like, what? I said, let me make a phone call. And so I hung up because I didn't want to listen to all that. And I called the radio room, and they were like, yeah, man, there's like been like 20 reports of vehicle burglaries on your street that happened last night. And I'm like, fuck. And I said, who's the detectives? And it's that no detective's been assigned yet because they're working a shit hot case, some type of rape or something. I don't remember what it was. She said, so uniform patrol guys have been getting called out there. As the neighbors would wake up through the day and realize their shit had been burglarized, then they would call in to have the report made. Now, on a big burglary like that, y'all, if a bunch of vehicles get hit, usually the detectives, at some point, the uniform guys are calling the detectives out so they can start fingerprinting and shit like that. It rained that night, the night before, I remember that. But the detectives were busy on a priority case. It was a rape case, and they were actively working it. So a uniformed guy would go out and take a report from whoever the victim was. Then that victim may tell their neighbor to check their shit or whatever. And the uniformed guys, as uniformed guys got dispatched out, they went. So a bunch of different guys went, and it got bigger as the day went along. So I called called back and got another earful from my spouse at the time. And I was like, fuck, I got to go home. Right. And so I go back to the camp and I told him, I packing my shit up. And like, where are you going? I said, my neighborhood got hit and there's no detective working the case because they're out on another case. And I got to go home. You know, I mean, I'll never live it down from my spouse. I mean, just we'll leave it at that. The person hadn't been my spouse for many, many years. But anyway, so I had to go home and And there was a 3 hours. I had a bit of a hangover. It was a 3 hour ride, like a slow ride in a hill. I know I'm going to catch hell when I go through the door. And no fault of mine, it was just the way it was back then in that relationship. And so I get there and I pull into my truck and it starts immediately when I walk in the door. I'm like, what in the fuck do you want me to do? I said, I'm not Superman, motherfucker. I wasn't here last night. I said, I just drove 3 hours in and I'll see what I can do. And so I called in. Detective Steele were not available. And she had a list of her neighbors, which were her friends. Now, let me tell you about the street. It was Parham Avenue. I lived at 7917 Parham Avenue, third house on the right. And what reminded me of the story, y'all, was when I did the episode on first of the month. That was Parham Avenue. And actually, the house that the guy was selling the dope out of that we raided was my next door neighbor. But it wasn't the same people. Those people had sold and moved out. Now, Parham is what they call Hunstock West. Hunstock East was across 16, big neighborhood, lots of streets and all this shit, big houses. The Parham was a straight line road in. You turned off of 16 and it went straight back. And just past my house where we set up on the first of the month I told you about, there's a cul-de-sac off to the right there. But you go to the inn and the Parham, it's probably 3/4 of a mile long, maybe a half mile. I don't know. It wasn't that long. And you go to the inn and there's a cul-de-sac on the back end. That's it. Houses, you know, like any neighborhood now, the new whatever neighborhoods, houses are pretty close together. All of them nice homes, very, very quiet street. I don't even think I had a house key to my house. I never locked my house. But on the way home, I was really shitting myself because I'm thinking, holy fuck, I wonder, did I lock my unmarked unit? Because it must have been 2000. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astapro? It's faster, bro.
Oh.
Right? Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those roads, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. speech recognition. The True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Because I was still on the SWAT team or SRT team, and in my unmarked unit, I had my AR-15, my tactical shotgun, all my SWAT gear, and I'm thinking, fuck, but I didn't say that. But one of the first things I did when I got home was made sure my unit was locked, right? So my shit was good. But Parham, quiet, you didn't turn on that street unless you had business on the street, okay? Great neighborhood. And we knew everybody. And as a matter of fact, my ex's office manager lived in the at the back of the first cul-de-sac right past my house. And shit, man, everybody got hit. Then I said, the second thing I checked was my spouse's SUV because I knew she never locked it. And we had a pistol in there that her father had given, and it was a Colt Police Special, an old revolver with the long barrel one. I'm talking about like from the 1930s or some shit. It was older and dirt. But I went out there and checked it, and sure enough, that some bitch was gone. And some change and a little bit of cash that she kept in the thing. I'm like, oh, shit, now I got to tell her that we got hit too, right? And so go in, you know, tell her and somebody else is calling. She's on the phone with another neighbor or the office manager, whoever. I go in. I'm not saying trying to hang out in the house and listen to this bullshit. I got to take the bull by the horns. No detective's been assigned. Now it's later in the evening, probably 2 o'clock, something like that. And so I went in and threw on some detective's clothes and put on my badge, my gun, and I jet out the door. I get in my unmarked unit, and I go down. I talk to a couple of the neighbors, and y'all, what I noticed was every complainant, every victim had left their shit unlocked, right? But they had entered some people's sheds in their yards, like some weed eaters were stolen, a chainsaw, and all the stuff that was stolen out of the vehicles, the stereos. There was another pistol that was stolen from somebody else. It was a newer 9mm. All the shit that was stolen was what? It wasn't secure, right? A lock keeps an honest man honest. Now, I know that nobody had cameras on. They didn't have Ring doorbells back then. Of course, I did look to see if anybody had cameras, but nobody had cameras. But I did not believe that somebody came in there in a vehicle and hit this long row of homes. And now most of the houses that were hit were on my side of the street. So it showed to me that the perpetrators, it was obviously more than one, and it was like 20 vehicles and sheds and shit like that. So it showed me it was obviously more than one perpetrator, but also they only took what they could carry, which means more than likely they didn't have a vehicle in there. All right. So also, what time of the year is it? It's the holiday season. Who's out of school? Your kids, your teenagers and stuff like that, right? And burglaries always went up around the holiday time. So the addicts got to buy presents too, and people steal shit, and a lot of them steal it and trade it for dope, but a lot of them steal it and sell it and, you know, buy Christmas presents. But so I'm riding around and I'm looking, and now on Parham, if you're riding towards the end of Parham, away from my house, away from Highway 16, on the left-hand side is a major road on the outside of the neighborhood. On the right-hand side, where the two cul-de-sacs were, there's a big wooden fence that runs the whole backside of Hunstock West, whatever you want to call it, Parham Avenue. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to see if I, what I could shake up, right? So I go back out to 16 and I hang out if they came in from that street side, there's nothing I could do. They could have parked at the car wash down the street and came in, but I said, I want to start on my side of the street where the wooden fence was. And so go out to 16 and hang a left, and then hang the first left, and I forget the name of the road. The first left, and it goes back in there now behind Parham Avenue. And it was like, back at the time, it was just a couple like track houses and some trailers back there, and it kind of made a circle. But when you turn onto it, now I'm in an unmarked white Crown Vic, y'all, and it's obviously it's a cop car, right? And the lights are on the dash. So I turn in, and you come down to this little T, and I'm going from memory. You come down to this little T, but right in the middle of the T is a trailer that's facing me in the end, perpendicular, I guess you would call it, not horizontal. It's faced me, and there's like three big mean-ass dogs chained up in the yard. There's no driveway. It's a dirt lot, and it's a shitty trailer, and standing out in the yard are two males, and they weren't kids by any means. I mean, probably early 20s, but they're standing out there smoking cigarettes, and I'm looking at them, and they looking at me. And the first thing I see, they recognize the car as a probable cop car, right? And then their eyes got kind of big, and then I'm like, oh shit, here we go. But they could just be dopers, you know. I didn't have anything solid to go on, so I rolled my window down and I made eye contact with them, and they never broke eye contact. Now the street goes around, and as I'm going around, and when I had to look back towards the road, broke the eye contact, they jet. They go inside the trailer. I'm like, oh, shit, business about to pick up. But I wasn't sure, and I didn't have shit to go on, right? So I made the loop, and it comes back around on the other side of that trailer. So I'm looking at it hard. I'm scoping it hard, and I'm looking, and they had light blue curtains in the window. I'll never forget it. And I saw the curtains move, and then they closed. So they were watching for me to come back around. Well, fuck yeah. Business is about to pick up, right? And this is not 50 yards from the back of the wooden fence on Parham. So I ain't had shit to go on. And you know, I just was going to reach out there. I pulled into the little dirt yard. The dogs were chained in I guess they were not Rottweilers or Pitbulls. They were mean-ass dogs, but they had big chains on them, like fighting dogs they do in the country. And the dogs were roar, 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 roar. But I made sure that I could walk up to the trailer where the dogs wouldn't get me. So I get out, and I'm walking up. Well, I'm thinking, first of all, for officer safety, or I'm approaching with tactics, right? I'm not just going to walk up and knock on the door and stand in front of the door, because if these are the guys that hit the neighborhood, I know they have at least two firearms. And I don't know if they're third strike felons, they want to shoot it out or whatever. They have what you call a kill zone. And if you stand in front of the door, that's the fucking kill zone. So I walk up, single wide, old ass trailer. And I walk up, and I don't stand in front of the doors. It's cement steps, three steps. And I bang on the side of the trailer. I said, boom, boom, boom. I said, Sheriff's office, open the door. I want to talk to you. Nothing. Boom, boom, boom. Sheriff's office, open the door. I want to talk to you. Nothing. Now, I know they hadn't gone anywhere. There were no vehicles in the yard to start with. I know they haven't gone anywhere. They hadn't been able to get out of the area. So what I did, I'm like, well, what the fuck am I going to do, right? So I took out my Nextel, and I made that cootie, that noise, and I said, 201-259. Send me the SWAT team, get me the detectives. I need a search warrant for this trailer or one, whatever. I can't remember the name of the street now, y'all. And I need a search warrant for this trailer. I got barricaded suspects. Give me the SWAT team out here. We need to surround it, and it's a high dangerous situation. I was making shit up, right? But I knew they could hear me. I knew they were listening. And then the door opens, and the guy comes out and says, wait, man, what's going on? It was one of the two that I had seen. But he shut the door right behind him as he came out. I said, what do you mean, what's going on? And he said, why you calling a SWAT team? I said, that's right, motherfucker. I'm calling a SWAT team. And, y'all, you know, I always talk to young guys never to start out high. I always start out low. But I didn't have anywhere to go but high on this one, right? And I really didn't have anything to go on but gut instinct. And I said, come down off them steps. And he came down, and I pushed him against the trailer. And I patted him. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm Pat Frisky for officer safety. And you don't got any firearms on you. I ain't got shit on me. And I turned him around, let him go, and I said, and I got it right in his face. I said, motherfucker, you have screwed the fucking pooch. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you know what? Don't even say anything. You need to listen to me, because what I'm about to tell you is the most important shit you've ever heard in your entire fucking life. I said, I know what you did last night. I know what you homies and your crew did last night. I'm not going to ask you a question about it. I'm here to tell you some cold, hard facts of how you fucked yourself. You have just shit in your nest, young man. I said, you're screwed. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 19. I had his attention for sure, y'all. Now, I know this other asshole sitting in the trailer listening also. So I had to come up with some good shit. And I said, listen, y'all hit all those vehicles and those sheds on a par ham last night. I said, but he started to say something. No, motherfucker, shut up. Listen to me. And I'm right in his face. I'm giving my, I'm going to kill you look, right? And I'm my crazy eyed look. And I said, you fucked up. I said, one of the vehicles that you hit was my shit. I said, but that's not even the problem. The pistol that you got out of it, the revolver, because you know what the fuck I'm talking about, because it says police special on it. And it's an old, old revolver. I said, but what you don't know is the story behind the revolver. And boy, his eyes are kind of big. I said, you have stolen a piece of American history. I said, do you know who the 28th president of the United States was? And he's like, oh, I said, no, I don't guess you fucking do. I said, his name was Woodrow Wilson. Y'all don't know if that's the 28th president or not. I was making it up as I went along. I said, his name is Woodrow Wilson. I said, I am named after him. My name is Woodrow after him. I said, you know why? And he said, no, sir, why? I said, because that pistol saved the president's life. He was at Hotel Monteleone in New Orleans in a poker game in 1932, and one of the guys that he beat left the room, and they thought he was going to get more money, but he came back in with a knife, and he tried to stab the president, and my great-great-grandfather pulled that pistol out and shot him between the eyes and killed that motherfucker. And the president's life was saved by that pistol that you took out of my vehicle last night. That's a piece of national history, motherfucker, that you stole. And then you stole it from me. And I said, I want my motherfucking pistol back, and I want it back right this fucking second. And he was like, oh, and I said, no, I want it. And if you say anything other than that you have it, it's going to be hell or jail for you, son. And he was like, oh, and I said, no. Where's my fucking pistol? And he said, well, if I get it back for you, am I going to get in trouble? I said, motherfucker, if you don't get it back for me, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. SWAT's team's on its way. We're going to roll in here. They're going to have to eliminate these big ass dope dogs that you got in your yard. And I said, have you ever seen a flashbang go off? We're going to throw flashbangs to every one of these windows on this piece of shit trailer, and it's going to blow your windows out, probably blow the sides of your trailer out. I said, and then they're coming in armed to the teeth. Well, guess what? We know you got two pistols in there, and you might be holding one of them. So it's hell or jail. You going somewhere today? It's one of the two, hell or jail. So you're fucked no matter what, because I know you got my shit, and I want my pistol back. And I'm not promising you anything other than you're going somewhere today, hell or jail. What's it going to be, motherfucker? And you know, I was just all crazy up on him. And I said, you know what? Fuck that. I said, you've got 2 hours right now. That's about how long it takes to get a search warrant for this piece of shit. And I'm going to have somebody sitting at the end of the road. I'm going to have somebody in the bushes making sure y'all can't leave. And you got 2 hours and your time starts right now. I said, and I'm coming back. And when I come back, it's hell or jail. I ain't playing fucking games with you, boy. You shit in your own nest. You fucking stole from me, and you stole a national piece of national history. And I said, the FBI is going to have to get involved. This kid didn't know any better. He's about to cry. And so I turned around. I got in my car and I rolled the window down. I'm just giving him the stink eye. the whole way, right? And I'm back out, and I said, 2 hours. And
why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC. Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
I drove around his little circle, around the, like I did the first time when I saw him looking out the back window, and I was going like 2 miles an hour with my window down, and he was just standing out there for like 15 minutes. And I told him about my third lap around it. He's still standing out there watching me, right? I mean, he thinks I'm crazy. And I hollered, you got an hour? I mean, you have 105 minutes, whatever I told him. Basically, your clock is running, motherfucker. What are you doing standing in your yard? And I'd give him my card and said, you call me when you get the pistol and I want it, right? So I went around to Parham, but time I could get to my driveway, my phone rings, and I answer it, and it's, hey, Hoss, what the hell are you doing? And it was Ken McMorris, the same one I told you we worked, we'd do it all the dope jumping on Parham on the first of the month. And I said, what do you mean, bro? And he said, bro, I just got a phone call from one of my CIs. And he said you were over there fucking threatening to kill him and blow his house up and everything else. And he said, I said, whoa, tell me what he said. He said, he called me. He said, Mr. Ken, Mr. Kent, I need your help. He said, motherfucker was crying, Woody. And he said, I need your help. And he said, son, what's wrong? And Kent told me, he said, I worked with this kid a lot in the past. They are, and I forgot to tell y'all this, he had meth sores and stuff on him when I was talking to him, right, on his face and stuff. So he was kind of tweaking, but he said he'd used him in the past as a CI. He called him up. He's crying. He was like, Mr. Kent, you got to help me. You got to help me. He said, you know, a Detective Woodrow? He said, Woody Overton? He said, yeah, yeah. And he said, he was in my house and he said, I got his gun. He says he's going to kill my dogs and blow my house up and I'm going to hell or jail. Well, Mr. Kent, he said, you got to help me. You got to help me. He said, well, he said, son, he said, you got that man's pistol? And he said, boy, got quiet. He said, answer me. He said, let me tell you something. Woody Overton is fucking crazy. He said, I don't even go around the dude. He said, he went to your house and he knows you got his gun. You better give that motherfucker up because I'm telling you, there ain't no telling what that crazy motherfucker to do. He said, what you don't know about Woody Overton, he was off in the war, in the first Gulf War, and he got all messed up in the head from killing people and shit. So if you got his gun, you better give it the fuck up. And he's like, Mr. Kent, can I give it to you? I don't want that dude coming back to my house. Can I give it to you? And I started laughing. I was like, Ken, that's the gun my father-in-law gave me. And I made up a lie about the gun and all this. He said he told me some crazy shit about the pistol saved the president of the United States. And he was, you know, he said he was gibberish and going on and on. I'm like, dude, will you please go over there and get that shit? And he said, and Kim was working narcotics at the time. And then he said, I'm going to get with the detectives and we'll go over there and see what's up. He said, I'll get your shit back for you. So I waited a while and Ken called me back later. He said, man, he said, I don't know what you did to that boy, but you had them some kind of shook up. He said that they ended up making 3 arrests. The boy gave my pistol back, the other pistol back. He said they recovered all kinds of stolen merchandise from the neighborhood. Not everything, because on a big burgers like that, trying to recover everything is like standing in the middle of a hurricane with a feather pillow and cutting it open and shaking all the feathers out and then trying to pick up each individual feather, right? Some of it they would have taken and traded for dope that, you know, right away that night. But he was able to get my firearm back. A lot of the stuff that belonged in the neighborhood back, car stereos and stuff they hadn't got rid of. He said, Woody, we arrested 3 of them and we got full confessions out of them. I said, look, I'd advise him Miranda, but I wasn't trying to question the motherfucker either. I was just going on, you know, pure blind gut luck instinct, you know. And so they got him and they booked him in. All of them were adults and they did it. I mean, they hit the neighborhood. They stole all the shit, but got the pistol back. Fast forward. You know what I did? I loaded my shit. I went back inside. I changed into my hunting clothes. I got back in my truck and I went hunting for the rest of the week. The home life be damned, right? So had a good, great week hunting, come back, get to the courthouse. The very first thing I do is look up and see what district attorney has been assigned case. And it was Greg Murphy. And I called him and said, hey, Greg. He said, man, I'm reading your shit got stolen, huh? And he said, but they were able to get it back. I said, yeah. I said, you do me a favor, please, and make an example out of these fuck sticks because, you know, my reputation is, and everybody in that neighborhood is a huge sheriff's office supporter and a huge DA supporter. He said, don't worry about it. And they ended up giving him 12, he pled. There was no trial, no motion to suppress. I mean, he pled to 12 years for the vehicle burglaries. Now, 12 years is a shitload of time for a vehicle burglary in the grand scheme of things. In the past, they would give them like probation or whatever. And so to give them to plead down to 12 years to plead to 12 years is a big deal. And it wouldn't have happened had, you know, I not been involved. Fast forward, many years later, I was with the state police. I'd been divorced from that person for a long time. And I get a phone call, and it's a probation parole officer that I knew and that I actually worked at Southeastern with before, and I'm not going to say his name. And he said, Woody, he said, you got robbed way back when on Parham Avenue. I said, yep, sure did. He said, you remember the fella? I said, yep, sure do. He said, look, he's coming up for parole. And he said he's been a great inmate. He said he's got no write-ups. He made trustee. And basically, once he got off the dope, he turned out to be a decent guy. And he said he's coming up for parole, but the shit's been flagged. They wanted me to call you and see if you have a problem with him getting paroled, or do you want the parole board to deny him? And I said, I don't give a shit, man. And I said, yeah, I've been going up from there for forever, like probably almost the whole time he's been incarcerated. And I think he'd done like 5 or 6 years. And I told him, I said, I don't care, dude. Tell him, don't ever come around me again. And if he ever sees me again, you know, he better turn and go the other way before I see him. So, but he got out, and even getting out on paper, the 12 years, his sentence would have long been up by now before I told this story. So that's it. Not a great big drama story like last week, and you know, with the murder and the death of the baby and all that, but just a story that when I did the first of the month, it reminded me of being on Parham when we got robbed that time, and how I got lucky and scared the shit out of that dude to crack the case. So, but anyway, I appreciate y'all. A little bit of more of a lighthearted story. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. And wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for the lifers, right? So patron members, you know, we love you and appreciate you. If you can't be a patron member, I ask that you just subscribe to us and like us and leave a review on iTunes and all that good podcast or stuff I'm supposed to say. Instagram, at Real Life Real Crime, or at Overton Woody. I'm posting some funny stuff on there pretty much every day, y'all. Check it out. Follow me on that, and we're about to start doing more videos for our YouTube channel. Check that out. The Courtney Coco case, we are in the same holding pattern, and I know people are like, COVID this, COVID that. I'm telling you, I have from a reliable source that COVID is the actual holdup because certain meetings can't take place, and I can't say any more about that. So I'm telling you, it doesn't do any good to put more pressure on them right now or to bitch about it or complain because it cannot move forward at this time. But it is actually being worked, and that it is my 1,000% firm belief arrests are going to be made in that case. And to you, suspect one and suspect two, kiss my ass. I heard you were going to sue me. Get your lawyer and sue me. I would love to be able to tell everything that I know in civil court on Courtney Coco's case that I didn't get to put out on the podcast because I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize the investigation. I would love for you to just fucking see me, so go ahead and do it because I know you listen, you little bitches. Miss Barbara Blunt's case, I am moving forward, okay? You don't know. I can't say everything, et cetera, but I think the next episode you hear from Real Life Real Crime will be a different angle on Miss Barbara Blunt's that I'm going to do the episode on. So get ready for it. It's got some real interesting stuff. But please share Miss Barbara Blunt's case. Lay off the Coco. Lay off Alexandria PD. They've done what they can do to this point, and it's moving forward. But y'all, on Miss Barbara Blunt's case, I'm still getting tips. So every time y'all share it, the case, I get the tips. And I'm about to leave tonight to go to my place in the woods, and I'm going to sit down with that case file, and I'm not leaving, not getting done until I have the next. Like, I have a lot of information. Let's put it like that. So just keep calling in your tips. Sheriff Ard is 1,000% committed to working on this case, and he has the resources on it. It is not a cold, it's not a frozen cold case anymore, okay? Because of the lifers, because y'all care. And a lot of you send your tips, and you're like, oh, I feel stupid for sending this in, bull. There is no stupid tip. Send in your tips. Every tip helps. You never know what's going to be the one tip that breaks the case wide open. So, and I appreciate you and just love y'all to death. Let's talk about LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, right? That's my personal mission for Real Life, Real Crime. Lifers, if you haven't signed up, please go, and it'll be in the show notes, to LOPA.org and sign up. Takes 2 minutes. Hey, if you sign up, take a screenshot of it and we'll post it in the crew, right? It's so important. And then I did a podcast with them that's about to come out in a couple weeks, I think. And I want y'all to listen to it when this little 5-month-old baby saved 4 lives, her organs did. And I've had other cases where organ donors, we have lifers that are alive today. Right now, one of them got a double lung transplant. Okay, well, guess what? Somebody had to die to get her those lungs, right? She wouldn't be breathing if it wasn't for it. So when you die, they have a real strict guideline. It's not like they can go a week later they have a certain time frame. Actually, you still have to be alive. I'm not most technical savvy on it. We'll have the people on one day to explain it to you, but you have to be alive, like brain dead, hooked up to the machine for them to go in and get the organs that they need to help these other people that are dying. They're living on machines and waiting on these organs and shit, man. You're not going to care. You're going to be dead anyway, right? They still got your body to bury. I mean, let them use it. And there's some things that they do with tissue for studies and stuff like that. You want to be a hero. Life was a real hero. Go sign up for LOPA. Go sign up to be an organ donor and give the gift of life. Okay. Give the gift of life. And I have a really moving story. Toby Tom Play, our executive producer, one of his best friends' daughters died recently. And her organs were able to go and help a bunch of people. I want Toby on. I want him to be able to tell that story. These are real people. These are real lives. And so be a hero. Go sign up at LOPA.org, or it'll be in the show notes. Go sign up. Be an organ donor. Be a hero. Save lives. Lifers, save lives. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace. Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime. Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay. With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.